The book of 2 Kings, we are in chapter 2 today. Lord God, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Both Elijah and his assistant Elisha had left everything in order to follow God completely. It showed. It showed in how God worked through them, and it will even show in how Elijah goes to heaven. He doesn't die. He just gets swooped up. Verse 2. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Could be that Elijah wanted to be alone for his final hours on earth. But Elisha, who has been helping him for years, wants to be with him right into the end. And this is a good lesson on loyalty to our fellow Christians. 3. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Seems to have been common knowledge, at least among the prophets, that God was coming for Elijah this day. Elisha didn't want to talk about it. He actually seemed bugged when the prophets brought it up. Verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. Elijah is making his final rounds before he goes to heaven. And Elisha swears that he will be with him to the very end. Elisha just will not be discouraged. He will not turn back. He will do what he believes God wants him to do, even though it's going to be hard to watch his friend Elijah leave. Verse 5. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Elisha is saying, "Just be quiet, would you? I don't want to talk about Elijah leaving." It's definitely a sore spot for Elisha. I'm sure he's happy for his friend that his friend gets to go to heaven, but at the same time, he's going to miss him. This reminds me of these prophets that keep asking Elisha. These questions remind me of some TV reporters. We've all seen these interviews during a disaster. A guy's family, his home, his life savings are blowing away in a tornado. And on camera, the reporter says, "How do you feel right now?" "Well, I don't know. How do you think?" You don't really want to talk about it. Verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. It just does not matter where Elijah goes, or how hard he tries to deter Elisha from coming with him. Elisha is with him all the way. Verse 7. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. These young, energetic prophets, they're tailing Elijah, because they're excited to see Elijah go up to heaven. So they follow at a distance, but close enough so they don't miss any of the action. Verse 8. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. the water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. God wanted these two men on the other side of the Jordan River. And since they did not have a boat, and since there was not a bridge, well, God would have to do a miracle of some sort. And he did. Elijah hits the water with his coat. He hits the water, pointing out the problem, and knowing that God would solve it some way. God always does. God works things out when it is his will. Verse 9. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" And now you see why God was able to use Elijah so much. He was a servant. Even in his final minutes on earth, he is asking what he can do for his friend Elisha. It's like Jesus said, "The greatest among you is the one who serves." Notice verse 9, the last part of it. This is Elisha's response. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. Boy, Elisha, he was not shy about his desire to be holy and his desire to be used by God. Elijah was the holiest man around and the most powerful man around. And Elisha wanted twice as much holiness and twice as much spiritual power as Elijah. Elisha could have asked for anything. And he asked for the one thing that would please God, that would make him the most useful to God. 10. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise not." He's not making any promises, because he doesn't know God's will concerning what Elisha has asked for. You know, there are no guarantees except for those things that God has promised. But it's up to God. If God wants to give Elisha twice the power that Elijah had, then he will allow him to see Elijah go up. And that will be Elisha's sign. God gives each of his people a measure of grace, and a measure of faith to serve him, and God decides how much each person will receive. Verse 11. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. The Bible says that God makes his angels flames of fire. And I can't be dogmatic about this, but I do know this for sure. The angels escort the souls of the righteous into heaven when they die. Read about that in Luke chapter 16. And here it seems anyway that the angels appear as fire. He makes his angels flames of fire. This chariot, so to speak, and horses of fire could possibly be angels. It certainly would fit the idea that they escort the righteous into heaven. But anyway, they escort the body and soul of Elijah into heaven. Not just his soul, but his body. Like Christians who will be alive at Christ's return, Elijah did not die. He just went to be with God. Verse 12. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. Chariots and the soldiers who drove them protected Israel. Elijah, through his holiness and through his powerful preaching, protected the nation of Israel from the righteous judgment of God. So he was at least as much of a guard to the people of Israel as the soldiers were with his righteous preaching. And what an exit this was. I know they expected Elijah to go to heaven, but I doubt that they expected the fire and the whirlwind. I mean, this fire coming down and swooping Elijah up and coming right between Elisha and Elijah and then swooping him up and then transferring him into a whirlwind, which took him the rest of the way. And some people think life with God is boring. Verse 13. He picked up the cloak, Elisha did, that had fallen from Elijah, and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. Elijah left his outer garment behind. Did not take his cloak with him. He didn't need it where he was going. You know, we get a fresh set of clothes when we go to heaven. The Bible talks about being clothed with white garments. Anyway, that is what Elijah left behind. He didn't leave a lot behind. Elijah didn't own much, so he didn't have much to leave behind. But his good works went with him. He didn't leave those behind. And he's been enjoying the rewards of his faithfulness for thousands of years. Verse 14. Then he, that is Elisha, took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. This verse suggests that Elisha picked up right where Elijah left off, because Elijah's final miracle was Elisha's first miracle. And so God's work will not skip a beat. God's work does not skip a beat when a good person dies, because the Lord will raise up another until his work is done. Verse 15. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Notice how these young prophets bow before Elisha. These young prophets had a fine religious education. Elisha, on the other hand, had been an unschooled farmhand. It does not matter. Does not matter, because Elisha had the call of God and the Spirit of God, and that is why he had the respect of these young men who knew God. 16. "Look," they said, "we your servants have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha replied, "do not send them." Now, these young prophets may have thought that God just took Elijah's soul to heaven and, you know, maybe cast his body to the earth somewhere. And so they wanted, I guess anyway, to find Elijah's body and give him a decent burial. Elijah said no. Elijah knew he was in heaven, body and soul. 17. But they persisted until he was too ashamed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days, but did not find him. Elisha did not want them to think, these young prophets to think, that he didn't care about Elijah. And he didn't want them to think that he didn't care about them either, or their feelings. Obviously, this meant a lot to them. So Elijah finally says, "Okay, just go." It's 18. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" Sometimes people do not learn from words. Sometimes they have to learn the hard way, by experience. Verse 19. The men of the city said to Elisha, "Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive." And so the city officials come up to Elisha and they say, "We like our city, but the water is bad." So that's a big problem. But our problems are God's opportunities to show His concern and to show His power. And that's what He's going to do in this situation. 20. Bring me a new bowl, Elisha said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Now that's a strange request, isn't it? That's a strange request if the idea is to fix a water problem. They do not need salt water, they need fresh water. And salt water will not make their bad water any better. But we must be patient. And we must allow God's plan to work. Even though things may get worse before they get better. Even if the process doesn't seem logical, like it's leading to a logical conclusion in our minds, we must let God work. We must be patient. Just continue to live for Him, continue to pray, and to continue to trust Him. Notice verse 21. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, "This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive." God is the one who healed the waters, not Elisha or anything Elisha did. And it sure was not the salt that did it. God often uses illogical or unconventional means to get things done. By doing it that way, people know it was Him, not human power or human wisdom. It's clearly a miracle. Verse 22. And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken. Those waters obeyed the will of God. They were healed, they were made fresh, and they stayed fresh. Nature does not have a will. It does not have the power to rebel against God. Man is the only creature on earth who has been given the freedom not to serve God, if that is what they choose. 23. From there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some youths came out of the town and jeered at him. "Go on up, you bald head," they said. "Go on up, you bald head." And so these punks, they were mocking the prophet because he was bald. They were mocking his message about Elijah being taken up. They were scoffing, telling Elisha to go up also. 24. He turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. They were mocking holy things. And they were mocking God's servant. And they were doing it at a time when Elisha may have been still grieving the loss of his friend. And they were punished for it. And this is a lesson that I would tell anyone. Do not laugh at people. Do not poke fun of them for any reason. And do not make light of holy things. That sort of thing angers God. 25. And he went on to Mount Carmel and from there returned to Samaria. So Elisha made the rounds to Elijah's old spots and I suppose told the people what happened to the prophet. We pick up our study in chapter 3 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.